Hello, superstars. It's been a while, but I'm back and I am doing absolutely fabulous. I took a break this summer to have some fun, to get re-energized, to get centered and grounded, and as well to connect with more super dynamic leaders from around the world who are making an impact in their neck of the woods. This is Ad Live with Irenia, and I'm your host, Irenia Roussel. Stay tuned to this style. Just before we dive and get to know our guest today, I would like you to do three things for me. At the end of this episode, follow this podcast on your audio player, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Two, head over to Apple Podcasts, rate and review this episode. I would love to know your thoughts on it. Three, share this episode with a good friend if it resonates with you. After all, there is a golden nugget for you and your friends. Awesome. Now let's get this started. Listeners, it is my pleasure to share with you the story of CEO and founder of Photopad, Miss Diane Jam. I'm beaming her in all the way from Seattle, USA. Diane's story is a fascinating one, since she made a 360-degree pivot after working 20 years in social work to move into the digital space. In 2010, she developed a consumer photo app and evolved this in 2016 into a web-based platform called Photopad. This huge move into the digital tech space was not an easy one for Diane, but definitely a worthwhile one, since it helped her to grow her inner confidence while she pushed past her fears during the many obstacles along her way. Her inner belief comfort kept her moving forward as she encountered people who did not buy into her photo stories concept and ultimately discouraged her to continue along this path. Luckily for Diane, she had the support of a rock-solid community to help her press forward without a blink of an eye. Diane is passionate about empowering women in business, bringing out their stories into the world with her Photopad platform. In this episode, we had a great one-on-one candid conversation about the various obstacles she faced, you know, in building this company, leading her team with authenticity, being a continuous learner, staying true to herself in spite of difficult times. And as well, we talked about building community with service at the heart of it. Listeners, you are going to enjoy this episode. Now, let's get into it. Today, I'm happy to be beaming in all the way from Seattle, USA, Miss Diane Najam. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm super excited to have you on, knowing that, you know, we connected through our Lunch and Founder group, and you're my first guest from that team.
Oh, wow. That's very special. Thank you so much. And it just shows the power of social media connecting us.
Absolutely. So, Diane, let's get my listeners acquainted with you. Tell us your backstory. How did you become the woman that you are today?
Thank you for asking. That is like the best piece I love to share with people, is this journey I've taken, because I grew up in a very traditional Greek family, but I ended up going to college, one of the first females in my family to attend college and graduate. And I was in social work, and I worked for over 15 years in child welfare, helping families, helping women advocate and healing from abuse. And I moved to Seattle, and I continue to be in the social work industry. However, typical of a social worker, I saw a problem on when everybody was moving to Facebook. Everybody was talking, but they weren't sharing photos. And coming from that very Greek family, I knew storytelling was really important because we used to hold people hostages and talk to them and show them photo albums of weddings, celebrations, birthday parties. And that got me started in this launching a tech app, a photo app on Facebook, right when people were coming off of MySpace. So it's been a while before Instagram, before Snapchat and other photo sharing apps, mine was the first one. And that's how I got started in the whole tech industry. And I grew it to 250,000 users. It was a consumer-based app only within Facebook, and people were using it. But I forecasted again that people would need to share their stories as businesses. And that's what led me to launch PhotoPad for Business on the web. I knew everything was going to be about photos and connecting and building relationships through authenticity and getting to know one another as a business before we started engaging and converting to their customers. So that, in a nutshell, is my journey. But the interesting part of it is I started this in later part of life. And the funny thing is my brother always says to me that I am in a stage where people usually retire and I'm just revving up. And I just think that's an important message to tell women because you can do it whenever you want to. You know, you don't have to follow retirement as your journey, if you still have a passion and a dream and you want to really pursue it at any age, you can do it.
Absolutely amazing. You hear that, listeners? She is just revving up. Diane, there is so much to unpack from your story. Oh my goodness. From social work to developing your own tech app. You know, I can only imagine what that journey was like into the tech world as well when you recognize that problem in the industry and you develop the app.
It was a very difficult. Well, at first, I have to tell you, I really just, it's part of my personality. I just kind of boldly go into things and then I stop and look around. So the great part is you don't worry about what's going to happen and what's going to hold you back until you're actually on the other side. But when you're on the other side, you're able to really work through problem solving. And one of the biggest problem solving issues was it was a very male dominated industry that I had entered. And it wasn't well received to have a woman doing a tech platform. And at the time I was doing this, I was one of the very few women. And maybe they were out there, but I didn't know about them. And I remember when I first started, I attended an event and it was all men. And I was the only woman in a room. And in fact, it was captured, you know, not intentionally. It was like an aerial view of the room at this event. And I was in the middle. And actually, I was on my phone in this picture. And I remember my friend said, "Why were you on the phone?" And I said, "Probably calling you to say, what do I do? I'm in a room full of men." And I said, it was, I remember that feeling, that fear, that nervousness of having to talk to people, knowing that you're not well received. But I survived it because I pushed through it. And there was other barriers with the I remember I wanted to attend an event that was for CTOs, but being the founder and CEO, I wanted to be there. And I remember calling the planner, the event planner, and he said, "No, it's only for CTOs." Later, when I called him back, and because I was still upset, I couldn't attend it. And my particular CTO couldn't attend it. And I wanted to go in his place. He said to me, "Well, it's a good thing you didn't come. It was all men." And I was like, what? You know, that is a problem. And that's when I knew that I was not only onto something big in the photo sharing platform, I was onto something big as a woman, that I needed to really share my journey, share these vulnerable moments, and share the fear and how I got through it. That to me has been the important part of this journey. I always thought I was confident before as a social worker working the inner cities of Detroit. And I was very good at it, but I realized that this growth that's happened in the last 5 or 6 years that I've been working as in the tech industry has been huge. There's a piece of me that I feel has grown, and it's more of the inner confidence. Like now I feel well-rounded. Your inner and outer confidence grows when you push past fear. And you would think I would have had fear working in the inner city, because I worked in areas and neighborhoods that people couldn't afford housing, and they were squatting, and they only knew how to survive and not necessarily follow protocols, you know, for safety reasons. But this to me has been a very fearful journey that helped me grow to another level. And I just think that's really important to share to people.
Thank you, Diane, for being so vulnerable, you know, and sharing that. You know, I'm really struck by what you said, you know, in terms of pushing past the fear, building your inner and outer confidence. That is what you can see really help to propel you forward. I'm amazed at, you know, your pivot, right, from social work, from the social work industry into the tech industry, serving businesses. I mean, that's a 360 degree pivot. So what sort of mindset, you know, did you put towards that pivot?
Well, I think I just am like always, I can do this mindset. I can do this. You know, I remember when I first proposed, it wasn't even proposed. It was like, I was telling my husband, who is a technical fellow and a CTO, back when I first was a social worker, and I was talking about Facebook and that there was no photo sharing apps. And I even said something very like off the cuff, like Facebook needs to get a photo sharing app. And he's like, you can do it. And I'm like, I can. And I think that just instilled in me that I can do anything. He said, yeah, I'll set you up with a team. You just need to share your vision with them. And I remember just meeting with the team and being really nervous, but I had the best team because they also saw the passion, felt the passion, and delivered, you know. And we launched this and it grew to 250,000 users. And then it was like, wow, look at what I've done. And then right at the point that I had plateaued around 250,000 users, Instagram and Pinterest and Snapchat came out. And now they were funded by people that they were getting a lot of funding. So they soared. And now I was thinking, oh my goodness, I'm failing. This is nothing. And then you can easily go down that road. And then that's when I met a mentor and they were like, wait, what? You started what? And you grew it to what? And then I was like, wow, I did something really big. So I think then my mindset changed that, okay, I need to make this even bigger. I don't give up. I need to see, you know, look at the landscape, navigate it, and go to the next level. And then it was, I won, right around the same time, I won a Mom Business of the Year award. And it kind of took me by surprise. And then they did a press release. And in the press release, they asked me, well, where are you going next? And I had been dabbling in the idea of going bigger and, you know, looking at small businesses. And so I mentioned that. And the minute I mentioned it and went out, I got so many phone calls from small businesses around the world. Again, even though there was Instagram and Pinterest, what I was talking about telling your story, about being authentic and building community, it was really resonating with them. And so that's how we started. We used my Facebook app as a starting point and sharing stories with businesses to see if I was getting engagement. And so it was a beginning of the process of moving forward and going on to something bigger. And again, I even had bigger fears at this point, even though I always had that I can do it attitude. It was bigger than what I imagined, you know, and I almost felt like, boy, that was easy doing the app, because this required so much more with business development on a bigger scale. But, and then the thing is, the bigger you get, you know, you're looking for mentors, advisors, and a lot of people were not very nice to me. They were saying, you can't do this. Mentors or people I met that was introduced to, they would say things like, this is ridiculous. Nobody's going to tell a story. What are you talking about? Story, photo stories. That's ridiculous. It's instant moment. Instagram is what it is. And I knew inside that when people reject you, that it immediately sets off a flare that you can do it and that you are onto something big and you just need to keep moving forward. And that was my mindset, is just to keep moving forward. And in some ways I have reflected back, because I'm like, gosh, I love doing social work, but I see my skills that transferred. I saw that I love to work with people. I love to help people and I love to solve problems. And that must be those three elements in me that helped me pivot and move forward successfully into the tech world. And so I think in a lot of ways, it was just transferring skills that originally I didn't even know that was the reason, but the why came later. And it's interesting, it all circles around, because my family immigrated from Greece and they started small businesses. And I saw them working really hard and I saw them succeed, but it wasn't like a straight shot. You know, they had moments that they too were, it was an up and down roller coaster, but in the end they were super successful. And that was an inspiration for me, but also it taught me how important it was to have community. And so that's part of what I do. It's not just a platform. You come and you create your photo stories and you go. I like for our platform to be a place for community, for me to help them with their marketing, even if it's just sharing their photo story, if it's being on our feature page. I mean, there's so many different ways, and engaging me on social media. So I really look at this as a whole picture, that it's not just a customer. They're bigger than that. They become a community, a family. And it just, to me, circles around to who I am earlier in life as I grew up to where we are now. So I see everything circling and connecting. It's kind of like the circle of life, right?
Wowza, Diane. There is so much to unpack for that. First of all, you know, yes. Kudos to you for having somebody pivotal in your life and your husband, you know, who said you can do it and you followed through on that, right?
Right, yes.
Also, you know, having that upbringing and seeing individuals from, you know, your home country building businesses was also an inspiration to propel you, but also, right. You know, as you mentioned, you know, having that confidence, right?
Right.
To push past the fear, you know, absolutely amazing.
Yes, thank you very much. And it's not an easy thing. So I don't want people like, oh my goodness, she has the confidence. It took time to really realize this, and a lot of just using mentors and advisors in the community, people, women who are around me, such as yourself, who are helping propel you forward and nurturing what you're doing. And I think that's just really important, is the people around you, the community that helps you build this. And it's the failures that happened, the things that went wrong that helped me build this inner and outer confidence, and knowing that it wasn't the end all. It's not only the fear you're pushing past that gives it to you, it's those failures. I made a ton in the beginning when I first launched, and I thought it was the end all. But I remember once somebody said to me, don't let this define you. And that meant, don't let this stop you. Take what you did wrong, analyze it. And it's not that it was really wrong. It just need to analyze what went wrong and, you know, take responsibility and move forward. Because the biggest thing is being a leader is taking that responsibility, knowing that whatever decision you make, you made it, right or wrong. And sometimes as a leader, CEO of your company, you're going to make wrong decisions, you know? And I learned that from talking to other big CEOs who has shared with me when I met with them, that particular thing, like, don't let this define you. And I think that also contributed to that inner outer confidence. So it's a time building experience, but it's amazing because I look back to who I was and who I am today. And it's just how I keep growing and moving forward. And I think also I read a lot of books on not only business, but on some of the leaders in the world that have been successful business owners. You know, I read the Mary Kay story. I think she was a phenomenal woman. That's one that comes to mind, you know, or Coco Chanel, or just how they overcame different things. And it really helps motivate you, you know, to keep moving forward, keep pushing through.
I want to focus in on a few things that you said earlier in terms of, you know, your business, right? Authenticity, that's important to you. Building community, that's important to you.
Yes.
So being authentic is a term that's really being thrown out there. And I just want to get your perspective on what it means to be authentic.
That's really a great question because I always have been kind of true to myself. What you see is who I am. And that to me is being authentic. And I'm very transparent to my team, to my friends, to the community. So if things aren't going well, I will tell you. To me, that's authenticity and being transparent. And sometimes that leaves you in a vulnerable position. I don't know how many times I've been told, no, don't talk about this. And I've gone against that advice because you need to tell them. You need to share your journey, especially with other women, with your community, you know. And I think we saw a lot of vulnerability and authenticity come out with the COVID, where some businesses were saying, you know what, we're not going to make it if we don't get customers in here. And then they see a handful of customers that come in and help them and they survive. But that was because they were authentic rather than pretending that everything is all right. And I'll show you another example. I remember I did a panel, and typically when I do moderate panels of women or on any topic of startups and entrepreneurship or leadership, and I tell them, you need to share a story. You need to share a story of the failures because everybody needs to hear this. You know, you're successful today, but you didn't get successful because it was always an easy process. And I remember one of the panels with four women on it, none of them would share anything that was a challenge, an obstacle in building their business or anything, and no matter which way I dived into it. And I said to them afterwards, like, that was like the worst interview I've ever done. And they said, why? And I said, I feel it's important that you're authentic with people because when they see that you're authentic and you share your failures to how you got to success, they want to feel bonded and engaged with you and connected and loyal, but they won't feel that way when you act like everything is fine, you know? And I think that's what authenticity is. You know, you don't have to tell them the nitty gritty, but there's nothing wrong with sharing any obstacles or challenges with your company because everything is not perfect, you know?
Right. And
right. I tend to align with people when you find that, you know, everything hasn't been that great behind the scenes, or everything is great, or and being authentic is really not taking the full credit either. Like I always say, it's not about me that this company's successful. It's been the team that you guys never see because, you know, it's primarily tech and they're the ones that built this, you know, they only hear the vision. But they have to really come up with the way it's going to look and come out on the other end, you know? And so they're really, if it wasn't for the team, I wouldn't be here today. And we have gone through some roller coaster rides with trying to get it to work and what it would look like and everything like that in the early days. So that's what authenticity is to me. It's really being true to yourself and true to the people around you, and they would feel that that you are being that way.
All right. Thanks for breaking down that word, being authentic, listeners. You heard it from Diane here, her view, her perspective on it. That's awesome. Now, when we're talking about, building community, what does that mean to you, or what does that look in your world?
That's a great question. I love having people around me. And I always look at them as a community, whether it's personally with your friends. If you know me, I always have a lot of people around me that I feel are the support team in your life. So on a personal level, that's community, is the people at all different levels that you could reach out to that are there as friends, there to help you, there you're there to help them. So it's an interchange. And I brought that into my business as well. How can I help you? How can we make this better? So building that community, and once they get the help, they're going to want to help someone else. So everybody with community, we just like with launch and founders, we're a community. And I feel very supported, as well as I hope I'm supporting everyone, sharing, what I need to share, that their word that they're trying to get out, or their product that they're trying to get out, or helping them with anything they need. That's what a community becomes, is a support system.
All right. I love that you say a support system, because we all need that human connection, that cheerleader, to help us along the journey, to pick us up when we fail and say, you can do this, right?
And I feel like that we get that in this with the launch and founder group that continues to grow with women and supporting each other.
Tell us a little bit more about your business today.
Thank you for asking. Like I mentioned earlier, I started out on Facebook with an app called PhotoPad, and it was a consumer app where we were able to upload our photos and share it in a photo album. I had postcards, e-cards. It was a number of things, but it was very consumer focused. But as businesses started to grow on Facebook, I noticed that we needed to tell a story now about our business, and that storytelling would be really important. And where we had Instagram, we had our instant moments, and we had Pinterest, which we pinned things. We didn't have what was in the middle, a place for businesses to really share their story in a slide presentation, share graphics, and be creative, because everything out there was expensive or complicated, or you needed a team. And as a small business owner, we can't afford that. I couldn't. And that's where I saw the problem again. So I closed that Facebook app, which was called PhotoPad, and I moved it to the web, and I opened it for PhotoPad for Business. And really, it is for anybody, but my focus is on small businesses and women business owners who don't have the team, who doesn't have the skill and or the time, but needs a place to create their social media quickly, affordably, and very simply. And so they're able to do that on PhotoPad. We give them all the necessary tools, and all they have to do is upload their photos and create it in less than 10 minutes with a click, share it to their social media channels, giving them digital presence and a way to engage their audience and share their story, whether it's about behind the scenes or a story about the product or the artist behind the product. Are so many different stories. And we have been working individually with people to help them get on. We've been featuring them in our photo story project, and we've been helping them get PR to get noticed, because what we found was photo stories, more than graphics, shared will get you an increased engagement of anywhere from 82% to 93% engagement over a photo and text. on social media. In addition, we found that using graphics is a way to, more so than advertise, is to share, again, a story, even in a graphic. And I'm encouraging people to use their own pictures and adding their own inspirational quotes and pictures of their product, but making it a story, even if it's one image that they're doing. And what they are finding is that this has really helped them. So that's what we've evolved into. And you know what is even more exciting is where we're going. Because the one thing, it's still, we have to create, we still have to think. And so our idea is in the future, I'm manually doing it now, curating content for people when they sign up. I talk with them, I tell them some ideas of what they can do so they don't have to spend too much time searching, but we will be automating that process. So when they sign up, they're going to know what to do, what topics to talk about that the industry is talking with about their business. So if you're a restaurant and it's food, what is it we should be talking about? And what should we be creating? So we're going to make it very simple for small businesses. And right now, there isn't anybody doing that. And that's why we want to step in and help them.
All right, Diane. So this gives me a clear understanding of your business, as well as our listeners, as you know, have that. That is pretty cool. Let's segue out of this discussion to talk about your team and leadership. You know, how important is it to you to be a good leader? And what does that look like in your world?
Well, it's really important to be a good leader. And I think we talked a little bit about authenticity and transparency. And I think if you are including your team in what's going on, they're going to feel more a part of the company and want to be connected as well on a stronger level. So we've had the same team since we've started Photopad, which is pretty amazing because we've been bootstrapping this and they are feeling the successes and the failures along the way. And we look to them too for resolution, or we include them in the problem solving process. I have a fantastic team. And I think they've made me a better leader because they are so fantastic. So I think it's really good to cultivate a good culture. And that comes with learning as well. In the beginning, I have to go back because it wasn't always great. You know, I didn't always have that style because I came off of a different in a social work world, and it was a different era. And as we all have been changing, evolving, I found the most important thing is to be listening. And that's an important ingredient, is listening. I'm not only to your team, but to your customers, because your team is also hearing what the customers are saying. And they pivot from that on how we make sure the experience for our customers is better. So I think a leader of a company is the result of having a good team and involving them in your process of building your company, because they've been there since the ground up. And sometimes I just feel very heartfelt about it because we've been through so many stages of building and coming out different iterations of Photopad. And we're at a really good stage now, and they're working on the next version. And I love everything that they're working on. And they work around the clock a lot of time. So, you know, with tech, they are doing it. But they have their own families and such, and we need to, you know, cultivate that they keep their families, spending time with them and stuff. And I think that's what a leader does, is that balance.
I love that you said, you know, as a leader, recognizing the balance that the team need to have, you know, with regards to managing work, managing family. That is so important, especially in current times, you know, having that balance, because, you know, I believe that individuals, they can have, you know, they're dedicated at their jobs, but can also have that balance where they spend time with their families so that they get energized and rejuvenated to be innovative,
Exactly.
in the work that they're doing.
Exactly. And some of the other things as you're speaking, I was thinking about in this journey, and I think it's really important for you to be a strong leader of your company is getting coaches and mentors to help you and to share with you what made them successful and teach you how, because this is a process. You don't just get, start a company and then be a great leader. There's a lot of failures, there's a lot of ups and downs. And as I mentioned, some of the things that really I felt like worked really well was making you a great leader of your company is including the team in the problem-solving process. I think letting them know, being authentic and transparent on what's going on, where are we at, what's happening. Because the more you involve them, the more they feel a part of the company, and there's more loyalty to the company, as well as they're the team. They're the ones that really are the ones that make it successful, make the product successful. So I think those are some key issues, is to really seek out also and learn from other CEOs and leaders in the community that have been very successful, that are willing to give back.
And what does that look like? How did you do that?
Well, I knew I had to make a list of things that I felt were areas of expertise that I didn't know. Like I didn't know exactly how to run a team, especially a tech team. And so I had to reach out to a tech leader to figure out, this is what's going on and how do I respond to this, because what I'm doing is not working. So that's like one way, hiring a coach to help you with the business development, because this was much bigger than what I've ever encountered working on before, and helping get navigate that landscape. And I think that's really important too, because that makes you stronger. And I talked a little earlier about the inner outer confidence. This whole process, it's a process to build you up to make sure that you're leading your team. And that's what makes your company successful, is when you're strong and when you're vulnerable to your team and letting them know. I think that also contributes, but it's a process. It just doesn't happen. You don't just start a company and say, oh, I'm really good at what I'm doing, unless I've done it before. But if you're a first-time founder, this and first time launching your own startup, this is the process. Is just, and then using social media is also sharing your expertise as well, because what you've done so far, no matter what stage you're in, is important for others to learn by and be inspired. And I think those are some of the ways, using social media and speaking on the circuit in the community at leadership conferences. I spoke at the Women Who Code Conference with Microsoft, the Microsoft Lunch and Learn. Gosh, there's been a number of them that helped me move forward. And then I also attended a lot of conferences and identified people that I wanted to hear speak or listen to their podcasts, because I need to gain more expertise in a certain area. So it's well-rounded as a leader. You can't, it's just not one piece. It's just a, I don't know how to say, you have to encompass a lot to be a leader in your company.
All right,
Really
thank you.
understand. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that insight, with regards to how you tapped into the expertise based on your specific needs at the various stages in your business. And
Right.
as startups, typically we don't know what we don't know. And when we tap into people who have been ahead of us,
Right.
it helps definitely to shorten that timeline, with regards to scaling up.
Yes, absolutely. And I have to say, it's been the mentors along the way. And there's various mentors, you know, like I have serendipity mentors that have happened. I've had mentors that have been there from the very beginning that you can share things with. Every mentor, and that's another thing, like with coaches or mentors that you seek out, it's you really need to have a specific goal. You need to look at your own strengths and weaknesses and identify them and have a beginning and end with whoever you seek out. Because you'll eventually outgrow them and you will need to move on to someone else. So, I've had a number of people in my life that have been mentors, but you always remember things that they said during that tough time helped you to the next level. The other thing I really want to add, I was thinking about as you're speaking, is that when I start feeling comfortable in my leadership, then I like have to look at what my weaknesses are. What do I need to seek out? Who do I need help with? Because you need to constantly keep growing. And if you don't, then you stop leading.
I love that you said that,
Yes, I think that's the truth, though. And I think you keep growing, then you keep becoming a stronger leader.
What advice do you have for women who are just starting out in their business in tech today?
Well, of course, I say to them, you're going to have a lot of fear, but you need to push past that fear. You need to seek out people or mentors or coaches or friends that are in your corner that can help you in that process. I tell them not to sit there in their head and think they can't do it, but to say it out loud to someone that's supportive to help them move to the next level. Because the whole journey is not easy, but know that you have supportive people around you makes that journey easier. I believe you need a tribe of people around you that are filled with like mentors, good friends who want you to succeed, advisors, and leave the negative people in the basement. And that's the key to success. That's the key to help you move forward when you're being forced into a situation, not forced, but in challenging situations as women entering tech. Just get your seat at the table, be present, push through that fear. But you don't do it alone. You do it with the people that are standing around you.
All right. So now let's move into, a little bit of some rapid fire questions, Diane. Let's get our listeners more acquainted with you. What do you do to set your tone for the day, to put a pep in your step and a pride in your stride?
I love that. Well, you know what? I wake up each morning and I get up early. I really think when you get up early, and if you can get up early before everybody else, it's very peaceful. I try to do fitness before I do anything. I like to run for clarity. I like to listen to a meditation. I try to do that for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most before I begin the day. Because that really, like you just said, puts the pep in your step. It really lets go because sometimes you're just carrying that negative energy around you. You might have had, and it's not uncommon that every day you're tackling somebody that is not in your support system and putting doubt in your mind. And you have to clear your mindset. That's the first thing you have to do every morning, recharge, rejuvenate, whatever it is for you. I like to run. I like to do aerobics and I like to walk at midday, get out and just release it. That is how I would recommend you to move forward with a pep in your step every day. The other thing is when you're working out or when you're running or whatever you're doing, I always say do one more thing, whether it's one more rep or one more minute of meditation. Or one more minute of that walk. When you do that, that means you're pushing yourself one more step closer to success. So that's my mindset. And I think that's the key in the morning when you first wake up that gets you going for the day, no matter what's ahead of you.
All right, thanks for that. And we know that music, really gives us a high vibe. What song are you listening to that's on repeat?
Oh my God, I don't know if I have one song, but I do like hip hop. So I listen to that a lot on when I'm running because the energy from the music, my son had made me a playlist, which is kind of funny. And one of the songs is Eminem's about not giving up, even when you're feeling really low and weak. That's what people want you to do. So if I'm feeling really low and weak, I make sure I hear that song while running because it makes me laugh because my son put it on there a long time ago. And his words actually do resonate with when you're feeling tired and weak, you want to give up, but you can't. You got to keep moving forward. You have one chance, so you have to keep going. So I love that one.
Cool, I'll check it out. I don't have that one in my playlist.
Yes, it's Eminem. He's from Detroit, so we had to put a little Detroit in there.
All right. Diane, we could go on and on talking, but we got to wrap this up. So, if there is one last few words of wisdom you want to tell our listeners, what would it be?
Well, my friend has said this over and over. There's two things. Never give in. And never give up. Keep on keeping on. So, and I love that. Those are some of the mantras I go by daily. So they are called the Menopause Barbies. They're good friends and they're very inspirational. So those are the two things that keeps me going daily. And that's what I would want people to do. Never give up or give in.
You heard her, listeners. That's Diane Nijan.
This interview was conducted remotely in my mom's
studio. Whoa, superstars. What a great conversation. I'm always fascinated by dynamic leaders who are making epic pivots in their life journey. If you love this episode, go ahead and hit the follow button wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it be on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Did you know that you can listen on the go with hands-free listening powered by Alexa for iOS and Android and all Echo devices if you're tuned into Amazon Music? Well, I love all my avid fans, and I most definitely want you to know first when new episodes become available. So go ahead, follow this podcast. Listeners, as I continue to build a Live with Irenia community, be sure to stay in touch with me. If you love reading blogs, head over to www.ireniarussell.org to get my latest golden blog nuggets. As well, you can put in a request to be a guest if you would like to share your fantastic story and come into the spotlight. I dare you to share your story to inspire others all across Canada and around the world. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, I'm your host, Irenia Roussel.